Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. We are thawing out here in the Mile High City. Snow is starting to melt quickly. You know we do get some snow here in Denver. And I know that a lot of people around the country might think of Denver and be like, oh man, you guys get hammered with snow. That's not actually the case. And so we did get a little bit of snow over the weekend. It's already disappearing really, really quick because we get so much sunshine here. Hey, we get together and we talk sports every single weekday at the Daily Dose, and we try to bring you a dose of common sense. We try to bring you a little bit of sarcasm, maybe make you smile once or twice a day. Hopefully that helps you get through your workday a little bit easier. We are happy to have you with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. We survived Monday and we are moving onward and upward. If you would like to contact the show, we'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles over there are at Daily Dose Sports. We'd love to hear from you, interact with you. If you have a suggestion, maybe you need some advice, whatever it might be, we would love to hear from you. We've got a lot to get to on this Tuesday morning. You know, I want to talk about a few things coming out in the sports news world. We are actually seeing a wide open season in college basketball. Some really, really good teams are positioning themselves for a good run in the NCAA tournament. And then there are some other teams that we had some high hopes for. They are not turning out to be true contenders, at least not right now. It isn't that we're mad, we're just a little bit disappointed in them.
I'm not angry, just terribly, terribly hurt.
And there is some news coming out that should be very, very concerning to the NFL. Not sure if it is, but it should be. Get to all those things today on the Daily Dose. First and foremost, breaking news out of the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks fired their head coach Jason Kidd yesterday. I know they have not been thrilled with the way that this team is playing. The Bucks are just 23-22, just barely holding on to a playoff spot right now in the Eastern Conference, which we know, not exactly a powerhouse over there. And we also know that in Milwaukee, Jason Kidd has been a little below average. He's been 139-152 in four seasons. So ownership looks at that group and says, hey, they should be better. They should be more talented. Jason Kidd isn't getting the job done. We're going to cut Jason Kidd after 4 years. He hasn't done it. I understand what they're saying. I just struggle a little bit when I look at this roster. They have Giannis Antetokounmpo. What else do they have? And because of the Greek Freak, they have these high expectations because people look at him and they say, this is an MVP candidate. This is a guy that can do everything. And he can. I'm not knocking him. He can do everything. You sit there and you look at, I mean, he can run the floor. If he could learn to shoot just a little bit, I mean, look out. He's completely unstoppable then. Then he goes to a whole nother level. He can run the floor. He can finish. He can defend. He can block shots. He can do so many things. Why aren't the Bucks better? Mostly because what else do they have? Besides Giannis, what else do they have? Eric Bledsoe is a nice shooter. Malcolm Brogdon is a solid young player. Okay, then what? So what else do you have? What is it that these guys are looking at saying, hey, Jason Kidd, you're not getting the job done. You're not winning enough for the cast that you have. I don't have anything. What do you want? You know, we talked yesterday on the show about when a team has a two-headed monster, when they've got two bona fide players, makes it so tough to defend. But when a team has three bona fide players, I mean, good luck. And that's why we see differences in teams from, say, last year's Cleveland team, where they had LeBron, they had Kyrie, and then those other role players, they're kind of hit and miss. Whereas Golden State, they've got Steph, they've got Klay, they've got KD, they've got Draymond, they've got three, four guys. Who do you stop? How do you stop it? Because if the ball moves at all, it's going to find a good scorer. We're starting to see Oklahoma City find that. What does Milwaukee have right now for Jason Kidd? They've got Giannis. And I guess he can drive and kick at the Bledsoe. And then that's it. What, Chris Middleton? I don't even know. How are you supposed to compete with the top teams when that's the only thing you have? And you know, Giannis has to sit down sometime. He can't just play the whole game every single night. And we're seeing the Bucks have these huge dips when he comes out of the game. Yet it's no wonder they don't have much else for him to do. They don't have a whole lot of other help. It's no wonder the Bucks are struggling. Not sure that's going to get better. Who do you go get now? Midseason? Who are you going to go get? Be interesting to see what Milwaukee does. I know there were some high expectations for Milwaukee. They may have been just a little bit too high. So here is the question I have on this Tuesday morning. Are you going to watch Super Bowl 52? Like, are you looking forward to it? I know, at least here in the States, it's the biggest party day of the year. But are you really excited about it? Now, maybe you're listening and you're saying, well, yeah, I'm a Philly fan. Or yeah, I'm a Patriots fan. So I'm super excited about it. But if you're not, like, is this the matchup you want to see? Because now we've had a little bit of time to digest the New England Patriots coming from behind, getting the win over Jacksonville. We have now had a little bit of time for it to set in that Minnesota is not going to get to play a home game in front of their home fans in a Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles instead are going. Now we are left with the biggest game of the NFL season. The New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Is it the matchup you wanted? Got Tom Brady versus Nick Foles. We've got Bill Belichick versus Doug Peterson. We've got five Super Bowls versus barely really even been to Super Bowls. I mean, we already know how this game's going to end, don't we? Patriots opened up in Vegas, favored by 5-6, depending on what sports book you look at. You know, the crazy thing about this Super Bowl is that Philadelphia probably has the better team. You could make a case that in every single position, aside from maybe one or two, they are the better team as compared to the Patriots. But the Patriots have the better coach and they have the better quarterback. And that's probably enough. Of course, now we're going to be hearing, will Rob Gronkowski play? I don't know. And honestly, I don't even care. Because we know that even if he doesn't play, Bill Belichick will scheme something up. He'll like get a trainer to step in, or he'll find like an offensive tackle that wasn't getting to play, and he'll plug him in at tight end, and he'll have like 8 catches for 94 yards or some ridiculous thing. Doesn't even matter. And you know, we are about to get flooded, if you haven't already, with, well, remember how good Super Bowl 39 was when the Patriots played the Eagles the last time? That was such a close game. No, it wasn't actually. I mean, the game ended 24-21, and it was a close score, so it must have been a good game, right? No. It was one of the more boring Super Bowls I've ever seen. The Patriots were up like 24-14, a whole section of the second half. The Eagles scored a very late score to make it look closer, but it wasn't really a fun game to watch. I really wasn't on the edge of my seat at any point in that game. Now, am I worried that is what's going to happen again in Super Bowl 52? Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be a very fun game to watch. Probably won't be that close of a game. We have to see the Patriots win another Super Bowl. Ugh, so sick of that. Just makes me want to throw up just thinking about it. Are there any even redeeming factors for this game? Like, is there any reason to even watch this game if you're not a fan of either team? Like, why do I want to watch it? The commercials? They've been getting worse, it seems like, every single year. I don't know. Halftime show? Who's the halftime show? Justin Timberlake? I mean, I guess he's performing. That's something. But here's the problem even with Justin Timberlake. You know, Janet Jackson is now in her 50s. You know, I loved me some Janet back in the day, but I'm not sure a wardrobe malfunction with Janet is going to have the same appeal in 2017, is it? I don't know that I'm that excited about this game. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you're out there and you're saying, no, I'm super excited about this game. Can't wait. Eagles, Patriots, bring it on. I'm not feeling it. You know, the thing, and maybe this is what it is, because the thing that I truly hate about the Super Bowl, every year, doesn't matter. Could be my team, could be just a great matchup, could be the matchup we dreamed of. The thing that always bothers me about the Super Bowl is that it is the official end of football season, right? Like, that's it. No more college games, no more NFL games for like, what, 5 months or some ridiculous thing. Okay, so we're getting ready to go through this long, dry stretch, and that's always kind of depressing. Like, you're sitting there going, I like those Saturdays just watching like 13 hours of college football. I like the Sundays. It's not quite as full, but I like the Sundays where you get to watch like 8 hours of football. Like, it's awesome. I'm going to miss that. So what are we going to do without football? How are we going to survive the next 4 or 5 months without football? Well, never fear. I have a few dates that I am going to run down here for you. Few things to look forward to. And no, I'm not even being sarcastic here. I actually have some dates that you can say, oh yeah, I guess I'd watch that. Couple of things at least to get us through some lean times, okay? Next date coming up, of course, we've got the Pro Bowl this weekend. I know, be still your beating heart. The Pro Bowl? Oh boy. You mean a game that no one will really play hard in? That's right, Jimmy. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Okay, so we don't care about the Pro Bowl. I understand. And then we have the Super Bowl. If nothing else, it's an event. Okay. But February 8th, coming very shortly, is the NBA trade deadline. Kind of keep an eye out. Any of these teams going to make any moves? There are a few teams that need to make moves. We've seen Cleveland needs to go get a defender. They don't have any. Golden State, they may want to go get some help for their bench. Do any of these teams, when you look, especially, I'm looking like in the East, do any of these teams, do they take a look and say, hey, Cleveland looks like they are gettable. Does Toronto go make a move? Does someone go make a move and say, hey, we're going to make a run. We're going to take a shot. We're going to go get somebody. We might have to pay for him, but we're going to go get somebody, and we're going to see if this year is our year and we could make it all the way to the NBA Finals. Could someone in the West say, hey, Golden State, they've got some depth issues. Could we see a Houston or a Oklahoma City or somebody go get a player by the NBA trade deadline? I don't know. Maybe. Not long after that, February 16th to the 18th, we've got NBA All-Star Weekend. I know, I am not an All-Star game person. I don't like it. There are a couple of things that are at least of interest over All-Star Weekend. You have some skills challenges. You have the three-point shooting contest. Do they still do the dunk contest? They should have stopped doing the dunk contest in about like 89 or so. That contest is so played. Like that is so done. And yes, I'll still watch it because I'm an idiot, but I'm so over it. Don't, now I just watch it just to go, yeah, that wasn't that good. Yeah, I've seen better. I'll say this. Whatever the NBA does, do not make me a judge because they're not going to like the scores that I'm going to hand out. Okay, so we've got NBA All-Star Weekend. We're kind of making our way slowly through the month of February. February 9th, the Winter Olympics begin. That's something to watch. At least there will be sports on nonstop for a few weeks, right? And the Olympics, especially the Winter Olympics, they're a little bit weird. They're a little bit odd. They feel like drunken dares in the snow, but they're entertaining. There's at least a few events that you want to watch, like some downhill skiing. I don't have anything to do with skiing. It's funny because people are like, oh, you're from Colorado. You do any skiing? No, I don't. And I don't want to. Because you know what's out there? One, it's really, really cold. Two, there's trees and stuff. I don't need to hit that, especially in the cold. I like Colorado from the warmth of my own home or like a lodge or something like that. I'm not going out in it, and I'm certainly not skiing down the hill, but I'll watch you ski down the hill. Snowboarding, you got Shaun White. Of course, we'll do some Olympic preview stuff coming up. The Olympics are coming up, and they will at least give us something to watch. Mid-February, like the 18th, we've got the Daytona 500. Not a huge stock car guy, but it's an event. It's Daytona. Get together with your friends and everybody, you know, draws a car. You put bets on a car and at least make it interesting. Lead a lap, take a drink, whatever. Make Daytona interesting to you is what I'm saying. Daytona 500 coming in mid-February. February 20th, the NFL has their franchise player designation day. That's actually coming pretty quickly. And, you know, there are some players out there that we're kind of wondering about. Could Case Keenum be designated a franchise player? Could Le'Veon Bell get the franchise tag again? Ooh, we can't wait for that, huh? So I know, it seems like there's nothing coming. There's a few things coming. February 27th, the NFL Scouting Combine begins. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the Scouting Combine, but again, it gives us something to watch, right? Not the worst thing in the world. March 11th, we have Selection Sunday for the NCAA College Basketball Tournament. Fun time of year. That is a fun time of year. March Madness, the upsets, the craziness that comes with March Madness, that's some good stuff. And by mid-March, we have NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs beginning. So while we sit here and we say, hey, the end of football, it's always kind of rough. Like the NFL season coming to an end, I don't like it. I don't like when football comes to an end. We have the Super Bowl coming up that I'm not even that excited about. And now football's going to be over? Yeah, it is. But there are some very, very good things coming in the next few weeks and months. So we'll get through it, right? We'll survive, right? Done it every year so far. Hey, coming back, we have to talk about a story that came out last week that might not be scaring the NFL just yet, but I'm telling you right now, it should be. Okay, one story that came out last week, and we didn't get to it. I actually had it sent to me by a longtime listener of the show, Mike in SoCal, and it was one that I did want to talk about. Several former NFL players called last week for an end to tackle football for kids aged 13 and under. Now, when you hear the names associated with this, these aren't some nobodies that you're like, well, who cares what they think? These are some big name players. Pro Football Hall of Famers, Nick Bunicotti. Former Giants linebacker Harry Carson joined four-time Pro Bowler linebacker Phil Villapiano, who used to play for the Oakland Raiders, and researchers from Boston University to make this announcement. They're working with the Concussion Legacy Foundation to support a new parent education initiative. Flag football if you are under 14 years of age. They will push for no tackle football until the age of 14. Now, I'm telling you right now, I don't think it's going to fly. But I understand it. I understand what they're trying to do. They're hoping maybe we can limit a few of these injuries that we're having. Maybe we can limit some of these big hits. Because here's the thing. When these guys get to the NFL, and I know we're super careful about these guys in the NFL, that's not where the damage always takes place, right? Think about how much practice time has been restricted by that point. Think of how much practice time has been restricted even by the college level. When are these kids getting hit again and again and again and again? It's in Little League. It's in middle school. It's in high school. It's in formative years. Now, do I think it'll happen? No. Because football is in our blood in America. You aren't going to tell us not to play before 14. And to be fair, I don't know why 14 is a magic number. I don't know that there's any research stating that at the age of 14, kids' brains are fully formed and exempt from any kind of injuries. But whatever. Now, maybe at some point, we see these guys that are putting this together, flag football under the age of 14, maybe we see them get it to a state vote where state by state you vote whether or not to have full contact football under that age. I could see that coming. I could see that happening at some point. But are you really telling me that states like Texas or Florida or Pennsylvania or states like that are just going to give up youth football? You think California is just going to be like, hey, got news for you. We're not going to play contact football anymore under 13. There's no way that's going to happen. It won't happen. Not here. But could this get enough attention to sway some kids from playing it? Undoubtedly. Without question. Because there will be kids whose parents are going to look at this and they're going to say, you know what? It's not worth the risk. It's not worth the risk. What if it was you? What if it happened? You know what? Go play baseball. Go play something else. Go play basketball. Go play tennis. Go play golf. Go do something where we're not shaking your brain around. And here is the next question. At what point will the NFL feel an impact from a movement like this? Because it might not be right away. But I promise you, it's coming. I promise you, in the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years, we're going to see it impact the NFL. It is coming. Think about it. We already don't have any good quarterbacks right now. There's, what, 5 bona fide franchise quarterbacks right now? Just imagine when we don't have the future Tom Brady's. When we don't have the future Aaron Rodgers. No. Forget that. Imagine when the future Nick Foles and the future Blake Bortles don't even play football. Because that's what's coming for the NFL. I don't know how you fix it. I know that we want to fix things. I don't know how you fix that because it's a violent game. It's a vicious game. And people get hit in this game. I just don't know how you fix it. Speaking of things that I don't know how you fix, I want to talk a little bit of college basketball today. And you know, last week, NCAA President Mark Emmer, he spoke that the NCAA plans a response to all of the charges that were going on in college basketball over the offseason. Remember, they had the charges of bribery, fraud, corruption, all these things flowing rampantly in men's basketball. In his first speech to the NCAA membership, since the arrest of coaches and all the stuff going on at the schools, the FBI getting involved, the scandal of Rick Pitino at Louisville, all those things, Mark Emmer said the responsibility falls on the leaders in college athletics to restore faith in their mission. Scandals that call into question our commitment to academic integrity make whatever praise we have of our highest graduation rates ring pretty hollow. That's what Emmer said last week in his address on the state of college sports at the NCAA convention. Here's what else he said. He said, we have to recognize we can't dance around these things. We can't make excuses for them. How will we respond? Well, I think first of all, by not retreating from it, by not getting under our desks and hiding. He says that the NCAA has made a commitment to have meaningful changes, not at some time, not trivial changes. He wants to have changes in place by tip-off 2018. Now, I kind of go back to what we just talked about. How do you fix a violent game? How do you fix college basketball? Because he didn't really map out any real solutions. But here is my question. How do you clean up a sport that is in bed with so many filthy entities? I don't know the answer. I know a lot of times here at the Daily Dose, we bring the solution. We're not just bringing questions. I don't know the answer to this. We know that the athletes have their hands out. We can sit there and say it's an equality thing. These poor kids, whatever. Kids are kids. Kids want money. That's not anything to do with anything. If you ask a kid, hey, you want some money? Yeah, I want some money. I'm just a kid coming out of high school. Of course I want some money. Kids want money. That's been the same forever and ever and ever. Nothing has changed there. But here's the problem. The shoe companies are filthy. There are filthy agents out there. The colleges themselves are filthy. There's a number of coaches that are filthy. The boosters are filthy. So how exactly is the NCAA and Mark Emmert going to clean this up? There are just so many opportunities to cheat. I can't see a protocol to follow that you say, okay, well, this is going to eliminate all these opportunities. We're just going to take cheating right out of college basketball. I've got news for you. It doesn't happen. I don't know how you fix that. Same thing with the hitting in football. I don't know how you fix it. It is inherently there. How do you get rid of it? I hope there are smarter people out there because I don't know how you get rid of it. Unless you just start paying athletes, unless you just eliminate hitting, I don't know how you get rid of these two major problems that are facing the two biggest collegiate sports we have right now in this country. We have to talk just a little bit more college hoops. Yes, it is early. But hey, the NCAA tournament, like we just talked about, it's less than 2 months away. And here's the thing. As you go to fill out your bracket, you might want to be aware of a few teams you just might want to avoid. Just a quick reminder that you have to get something for Valentine's Day for that special someone, right? So you might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose where they have the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. February's Loot Crate theme, it's called Protect, and it features items from Black Panther, Fallout, The Expanse, and Pacific Rim Uprising. But if you go over to Loot Crate, they have pretty much any franchise you can think of. They have stuff for your house. They have stuff for your kitchen. They have stuff for your pets. They've got Harry Potter stuff. They've got pretty much any franchise you can think of. They've got stuff for your car, for your desk. You name it, they've got it. Best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, just make sure that you enter Daily Dose, one word, in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. And if you're ordering for Valentine's Day, which we all know is just like kind of a made up farce thing to sell stuff, right? Like the card companies and the chocolate companies and all, they just started this thing so it's something else you have to spend on. Does it really mean anything? No, it doesn't. But you can at least save a little bit of money as you go find something that's a little bit unique for that special someone on your Valentine's list. Make sure that you check out lootcrate.com. Okay, so the college basketball season, it's well underway. And while we have kind of an idea of who the contenders should be, there are also a few teams out there that have not looked quite so good. And I know, we don't really care about college basketball in March. I'm just throwing some of these teams out there for you to kind of keep in mind as we get closer and closer to that tournament. Now, maybe they start playing better down the stretch. Maybe they get into their conference tournament and the light kind of goes on and they start to figure some things out and you go, wow, they've gotten a lot better. Or maybe this is kind of buyer beware on a few of these teams that do make it in the dance because most of these teams are big enough names they're going to get in. But most of these teams are also teams you might want to avoid. Even though you recognize them when you're filling out your bracket, maybe you haven't watched much college hoops, even though you say, oh, I know that team, they'll be good, and you have them going clear to the Final Four. Yeah, you might not want to do that. Couple teams here you might want to just be careful of. So far, they have been just a bit of a disappointment. I'm not mad at them, just a little disappointed.
I'm not angry, just terribly, terribly hurt.
First team up, one of the winningest programs of all time, the UCLA Bruins. And of course, it all started in China when a few Bruins got busted for shoplifting in a country where they're lucky they didn't get their hands lopped off. And no, I'm not going to name any names because I don't feel like discussing balls right now.
Phrasing?
But the Bruins are 13-7 now, and they have beaten exactly one tournament team, we would think. That's it. You know, UCLA is not very good defensively. They're playing in a Pac-12. I don't know if the Pac-12 is great, but it's shaping up to be kind of tough. It's not a great conference. It's just kind of a scrappy conference. And so every night, you better bring it because it's a tough physical conference and UCLA is not holding up. They can't stop anybody, and they're losing games. They have now lost four in a row. They're sitting at 13-7. Tournament time comes. You might be tempted to take UCLA. Be very, very careful. Next team up. Out in the ACC, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Do you realize that Notre Dame was ranked number 14 in the preseason rankings? And they won 7 of their first 8 games. Unfortunately, they only played one good team in that stretch. And that team was Michigan State, who beat them by 20. You know, head coach Mike Bray, he's been making a habit of bringing these teams to the dance that you might not know that well, but man, they get there and they can just outscore people. They can just shoot it so well. They move really well offensively. They space really well offensively. They can transition. They can score points. And for a few rounds, they outscore people. But this year, the Irish offense, they're not so good. Notre Dame has now lost 4 in a row. They are 13-7, and they are sliding down the ACC rankings. They are now 10th out of 15 teams in that conference. Be careful of Notre Dame. Another team we had high expectations for, the Minnesota Golden Gophers. They were expected to be a top 20 team when the season started. Remember, they've got Rick Pitino's son up there coaching, and they were coming off of a number 5 seed last year in the tournament. They got off to a good start this year when they won at Providence. But since Thanksgiving, Minnesota is kind of struggling. Minnesota is now near the bottom of Division 1 in 3-point shots taken, and more importantly, they're near the bottom in 3-point shots made. They have now lost to Miami, to Nebraska, and got blown out by Arkansas. Minnesota is 14-8. They are 10th in the Big Ten. Who saw that coming? We thought Minnesota would be pretty tough. They're 10th in the Big Ten. Now, you hear that. Just a side note. You hear 10th in the Big Ten, you think they're dead last. No, they're not dead last. There's actually 14 teams in the Big Ten now. Because, I mean, it's the Big Ten. Why wouldn't there be 14 teams? Duh. Okay, next team up, the Baylor Bears. You know, the Baylor Bears were a top 25 team when the season started, but the Big 12 this year is so good that they've just kind of passed Baylor by. Baylor is now 12-7. They've lost 3 of their last 4. And, you know, we always expect Baylor to be that long, athletic team. They can press, they can trap, they can attack, they can score in transition. But that hasn't really turned out this year. Baylor has been losing to good teams, at least. But they keep losing to them. So after a while, I say, well, yeah, we're losing to really good teams. Well, yeah, but you're not beating anybody. That's not a good sign for Baylor for the tournament, because that's exactly who you're going to see. Hey, we've been losing to good teams. Yeah, you're going to play good teams. So you're probably going to lose to them too. Not looking good for the Baylor Bears. Next up, another Big Ten team. Remember the fun that the Northwestern Wildcats had last year? They made their first NCAA tournament appearance ever. And they had most of that team coming back. But Northwestern has really struggled. They didn't get off to a good start. They lost 4 of their first 9 games, including a 40-point loss to Texas Tech. Northwestern, they are now 12-9. They're sitting at 9th in the Big 10, or the Big 14, or whatever you want to call that silly conference. Northwestern struggling a little bit coming down the stretch. And the final team on our disappointment so far in college basketball. And this might be a little bit unfair to them, but we're going to put them on here anyways. Because we are so used to the Kentucky Wildcats just reloading with talented freshmen and winning a ton of games every single year, that when they do actually struggle, like, we're kind of shocked. But after losing to South Carolina and Florida this past week, Kentucky is now out of the top 25 for the first time since 2014. The Wildcats are 14-5. They're not horrible, but they just don't shoot the ball particularly well. And that has made for a big time struggle for them. Oh, and also, they don't always defend that well either. So besides the not scoring that well and the not defending that well, they're kind of struggling. That's kind of a lethal combo, isn't it? Now, understand this, like I said, any of these teams can turn it around. There's no question about that. But for the expectations that these teams had prior to the year, we have no choice but to be just a little bit disappointed in them. Hey, tomorrow is Wednesday, and we have to talk about what in the world is going on between the San Antonio Spurs and Kawhi Leonard. I'll give you a little hint. Doesn't sound very good. Also, we might have some storylines to watch for this upcoming Super Bowl that I'm not that excited for, but I'll give you some storylines. I promise you, they're coming. I'll guarantee you that. Plus, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. You know you've got to tune in for that, because you never know what we're going to rank here on the Daily Dose. Have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose. For all of you that share the show, that tell your friends, that tell your family, that tell the people you work with, we appreciate it so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great Tuesday. I will see you all tomorrow.